These are the things that no one tells you, that you must experience in order to learn. It only hurts the first few times. You scream. You scream and you scream and you scream until your throat is raw and your eyes swollen and you taste a curious substance in the back of your throat that is like bile and vomit and tears all rolled into one. You cry for your mother. You beg for God. You don't understand what is happening. You can't believe it is happening. And yet, it is happening. And so, bit by bit, you fall silent. Terror doesn't last forever. It can't. It takes too much energy to sustain. And in truth, terror occurs when you are confronted with the unknown. But once it has happened enough, you have been systematically violated, beaten, cowed. It's not unknown, is it? The same act that once shocked you, hurt you, shamed you with its perversity, becomes the norm. This is your day now. This is the life you lead. This is who you have become. A specimen in the collection.
Chapter 2. Spiders are always on the lookout for prey, but predators are also on the lookout for spiders. Clever disguises and quick getaways help keep spiders out of trouble. From Spiders and Their Kin by Herbert W. and Lorna R. Levi, A Golden Guide, from St. Martin's Press, 2002. We got a problem. No kidding. Widespread production of methamphetamines, a middle class that keeps falling further and further behind, not to mention all the ruckus over global warming. No. A real problem. Kimberly sighed. They'd been working this crime scene for 3 days now, long enough that she no longer noticed the smell of burning jet fuel and charcoaled bodies. She was cold, dehydrated, and had a stitch in her side. It would take a lot, in her opinion, to qualify as a real problem at this point. She finished up the last swig of bottled water, then turned away from the tent city that currently comprised Command Central and faced her teammate. All right, Harold, what's the problem? Gotta see it to believe it. Harold didn't wait for her answer, but set off at a half jog, leaving Kimberly no choice but to follow. He trotted along the outside of the crime scene perimeter that surrounded what had once been a bucolic green field bordered by thick woodlands. Now half the treetops had been sheared off, while the pasture contained a deep, jagged scar of earth that ended in a blackened fuselage, crumpled John Deere tractor, and twisted right wing. As crime scenes went, plane crashes were particularly messy. Sprawling in size, contaminated with biohazards, booby-trapped with jagged bits of metal and shattered glass. The kind of scene that threatened to overwhelm even the most seasoned evidence collector. Mid-afternoon of day 3, Kimberly's team had finally passed the holy crap where to begin stage and was now cruising into the job well done be home tomorrow night for dinner phase of the documenting process. Everyone was popping less Advil, enjoying longer lunch breaks. None of which explained why Harold was currently leading Kimberly away from Command Central, the hum of the generator, the bustle of dozens of investigators simultaneously working a scene. Harold continued to lope along a straight line, 50 yards, 100 yards, half a mile down. Harold, what the hell? 5 more minutes, you can do it. Harold increased his pace. Kimberly, never one to cry uncle, gritted her teeth and followed. They hit the end of the crime scene perimeter, and Harold turned right into the small grove of trees that had started the whole mess. the taller ones forming jagged white spikes pricking the overcast winter sky. Better be good, Harold. Yep. If this is to show me some kind of rare moss or endangered grass species, I will kill you. I don't doubt it. Harold dashed and ducked around shattered trees, bobbed and weaved through the thick underbrush. When he finally stopped, Kimberly nearly ran into his back. Look up, Harold ordered. Kimberly looked up. Ah, shit. We have a problem.